mighty, El Shaddai. You are holy, you are righteous, you are gracious, you are loving, you are kind. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for allowing us to come together one more time. Thank you for the Three P's Mass Choir today. Thank you, God. Thank you for this time of worship and praise and adoration for who you are, God. Thank you for the blood that's running warm in our veins. Thank you for being clothed and in our right minds. God, thank you for another day's journey. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, God. Bless this word to our hearts and to our spirits. Oh, today, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Praise God. As the praise was going forth, I was kind of singing low. I was kind of whispering because, you see, Amen. I wanted to try to get out whatever the Lord has given me. I wanted to get it out. Amen. I don't want to blow up. It's down. You know, Jeremiah said when he got to a point where he said he wasn't going to say nothing else in that name. But he forgot what was said in Jeremiah chapter 1 when the Lord said, this day have I put my word in your heart. Amen. He got to a point where the people were persecuting him. And they were talking about him. They were looking to kill him. But he said, I'm not going to say nothing else in that name. But it got to a point, he said, but it was like fire. Shut up in my bone. I couldn't hold it in. I had to let the world know how great this God is and the message, the burden he's put upon Jeremiah's heart to tell the people. Thank you, Jesus, and amen. So that's where I'm coming from on today. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for who he is, and I thank God for who he has caused me to be. What's that? A child of God. A child of the Most High God, my Lord, my Savior, saw fit to save a wretch like me. Brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. Been a great change in my life, and I give God all the glory, honor, and praise. He's worthy to be praised. Brother Ben, I salute you today, brother. Know you're yet in your time of grief and time of bereavement, but God has shown himself mighty and strong in your life, and you've been such an example to all of us. And so you and your family, my granddaughter there, my god-granddaughter, Sonia, you all are in our prayers. And we just thank God for Jesus. We are family. We are the family of God. And I bless the name of Jesus on today. We're living in crucial times. We're living in crucial times. We're living in times we've never seen before. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the one who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That we can count on him. Amen. So praise God to those who are here in the sanctuary today, those that are in the overflow, those that are on social media today. May the blessings of the Lord be with you. May the blessings of the Lord overtake you. May his healing virtue fall afresh upon you as we look into God's word on today. And so the Lord, the thought that I couldn't shake over the last couple of days, what we see today versus who we are. Amen. We're seeing a lot of things today. Anybody seeing things you've never seen before? does anything surprise you anymore? Scripture talk about man's heart is desperately wicked. Above all, who can know it? But I thank God that he knows my heart. He knows our hearts. He knows our destiny. He has a plan for each one of us. I thank God we serve a God who forgives sins. I thank God that he's a God who looks beyond our faults and see every one of our needs. I thank the Lord today for having a relationship with the God of the universe. What a blessing it is. I can call on God in the midnight hour, and he always hears me. He never sleep. He never slumber. That's the God we serve, and I bless him on today. And so God took me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at a couple of things here. We're going to look into a couple of books in just a few verses of each one. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5, we know that Timothy was a protege of Paul. He was a young man, no doubt, got saved around one of Paul's latter missionary journeys. Matter of fact, him, Timothy, and his mom and his grandmother came to know Jesus through the Apostle Paul preaching and teaching the word of God under the anointing of God. And so, you know, it's something about having a mentor in Christ. It's something about having someone in your purview that loves Jesus. Amen. I never will forget when I first came to the Lord, I had my Sunday school teacher was Elder Ulysses Henderson, and the man preached the word and he taught the word and he made it so exciting. I couldn't wait to get to Sunday school. I remember one time I said, you know what? I'm fresh out of the world now, right? I done went from chains and stuff, which is it doesn't mean nothing, but that's where the mindset was then, to tithes and all this, because in my heart, I wanted to live for God. And I'm hearing all these scriptures going forth, and I'm seeing the excitement of the men of God, and I couldn't wait to next Sunday. I'm gonna find something this Sunday school lesson. I'm going to raise my hand. I've learned something. Yeah. And it's something about that. And so Timothy was a young man now with the anointing of God upon his life. And Paul was giving him instruction. And so here we find ourselves in the second book, in the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. Mm-hmm. See, it's good to have someone that you can trust. It's good to have someone that you can even impart some truths to. Any of us have that in our heart, in our life, in our minds? Like little Amir, who was sitting here, him and I hung out together yesterday at a men's fellowship in a park under a tree. And Amir, as we were fellowshipping on the way back from Chick-fil-A, I asked him, how long has it been since in your heart you wanted to be a pastor or a preacher, a preacher or pastor? And he said, about 4 years. And I say, look at God. He's 11 years old now. You know, just as Paul shared with Timothy, we want to share with young men and women like Amir. And so in the passage today, Paul said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. Do that ring true today? Does this kind of sound like it may have been written yesterday? The last days refers to that period of time that we're in now. Between Christ's death and his resurrection and his ascension and the second coming, the second appearing of Jesus Christ. So the last days, we're living in that right now. We're living in the last days. And we have hope in Christ Jesus because we read the book. And we know that he's coming back again. Thank you, Pastor Elder. He's coming back again. And so just as the admonition went to Timothy, we ought to be aware of take in the same admonition today. I'm so glad we're not just religious folks. I'm glad we're not just church folk. I'm glad we're just not Sunday folk. But we are people who have given our lives to Jesus. I'm in him and he's in me. And he has a way for us to live. And he wants us to be aware of the times and the seasons that we're living in. And so he said, you should know this. You should know this. You need to know this. I want you to know this. That in the last days, there would be very difficult times. He says, for people will love only themselves and their money. Hello, somebody. Have you ever heard anybody like that? Have you ever seen that somewhere? Maybe on TV land somewhere? Maybe a name. For people will love only themselves and their money in the last days. Hey, listen to this. They will be boastful and proud. Are we living in the last days? Paul, are you sure you didn't write this yesterday and put it online? They will be boastful and proud. Listen to this. Scoffing at God. Some people are shaking their fists at God. There's been times when we used to go out door to door witnessing. We would ask folks a question. that Brother Chucky came up with and say, what has been your experience with the Christian church? We knocking on their door on a Saturday morning. And some of them was like, oh, we've been looking for a church. Somebody else was like, get out of here. You know, we don't want to hear nothing you got to say. That's all right. And we said, well, thank you. God bless you. But we're living in that time. We're living in the last days where they will be boastful and proud and people will be scoffing at God. And remember, because they love themselves and their money. And so some people feel like they don't have a need for God. But I don't know about you, but I can't make it without him. I need him every minute, every second. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe Camille was talking about how the breath that he gives us. And it's involuntary. And even if I sit up there and say, let me see how long I can hold my breath. After a few seconds start trembling, you know, start, okay, this game is over. You know, because it's something inside that God has built in that tells his heart to beat and these lungs to breathe. And now it's something inside of me that tells me to go ahead on, to go on up the road a little bit further. Let me read this out. I want to leave this thought out. It's Communion Sunday. We ain't going to be long. It's food served. We'll be served in the back. And we got some bags to put together. But I want to get this out while I still have the chance. He says, they will consider nothing sacred. Driving through L.A. to the service the other day, every church in South Central had bars around the building, around the yard, on the windows. I mean, these are houses of God. And we live in a time, people say, we will come in and take your Hammond B3 organ. We'll take your microphones and we'll even take your communion stuff and set it on the street. In the last days, in the last days. He said, they will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. Listen to this, disobedient to their parents. Do that sound familiar to anybody? Have you seen that anywhere? And ungrateful. Ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will consider nothing sacred. Even the people of God. Means nothing to some folks. You've been blessed and favored by God, and some people you will be a disdain to someone who don't want to know him or anything about him. People will call you crazy, will call you some kind of religious zealot, see. But when you know who you are, but in the last days, they in verse 3, they will be unloving and unforgiving. Do that sound familiar? I'm just talking about the last days, Grandma Carolina. Unloving and unforgiving in the last days. I'm talking about what we see, what Paul is showing Timothy and what for him to see and what we should see today versus who we are. Because sometimes we can get tripped up by what we see. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. See, because some things that I see don't look real good. But I walk by faith because God said, you know. He said they will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others. Turn on the news. Whatever channel you like, you're going to hear some slandering going on. They will slander others and have no self-control. People are doing stuff today that I never would have thought I'd see. So the other day, it was a man standing on the block where he won the race in a women's race. In the last days. They will slander others and have no self-control. In the last days, they will be cruel and will hate what's good. In the last days. Saints, listen, we're living in the last days. See, but we need to know who we are. In verse 4, they say, and they will betray their friends. Anybody ever been wounded in the house of a friend? Have one of your besties, your BFF, ever went south on you? Maybe not. Thank God they haven't. They will betray their friends. They'll be reckless. Be puffed up with pride. Now, y'all, now, come on, y'all, help me out here. Now, let me get through this, because maybe you ain't seen none of this. See, but it's not about what you see. You know, it's about who you are. But we're not blind, right? We see these things around us. And if we're not careful, these things we see can hinder us in the last days. Distract us. See, try to divert our attention from what really matters. See, sometimes you ever say, but you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know how they treated me. You don't know how they used me. God sees and he knows everything, because we know that from his word. Hebrews said the word of God is what? Quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart, and everything lay naked before him whom we have to give account. I mean, you know, we got to give account to God. We know that, but there's some who don't know that, and that's why they're doing stuff they're doing in the last days. You see, that was me in the last days, but God came into my life. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and listen to this, and love pleasure rather than God. I have some relatives, they cannot come to church during playoff time, during Super Bowl time. It's hard. It's like, should I or should I? In the last day. Well, what really matters in the last days? He says, love pleasure rather than loving pleasure rather than God. Oh, I got a nice car more than God. Got a nice bank account. You mean you love that more than God? You're getting accolades. People are patting you on your back and telling you how good you are and how beautiful you are. Rather than God in the last days. And it says in verse 5, they will act religious. Uh-oh. Paul is messing with the church now. Because there are some folks in the last days in the church that have some of these qualities about them. I'm just talking about, but see again, it's what we see compared to who we are. I hope we all today know who we are today, because if you don't, I'm going to tell you who Jesus say we are today. Amen. So hang with me as I finish up this fifth verse. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Wow. I've seen more folks come to Jesus in prison than in 44 years of being in the church. I'm just saying, maybe it's me. I don't know. But I've been in sending service where the altar call has been made and the Spirit of God is in the place, and the preacher or the prophet or the evangelist is saying, come on, God is calling somebody in here. And sometimes folks are sitting like a knot on the log. Please don't look at me. Don't call me. I ain't ready yet. I don't know. I may have to give up. What? Love and pleasure more than God? And reject the power that could make them godly? What power is that? It's the Holy Ghost power. It's the Spirit of God saying, come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Didn't he say it? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And somebody said, no, not me. What about this one? I'm too young. I haven't gotten my run out. You know, I may have to let Susie or Judy or Ralph or George or whatever go. No, hello, God is calling you. He's calling folks to himself. So they reject the power that could make them godly And it says stay away from people like that. This is important, though. Yes, what he's saying is don't be a part of that type of thing. Don't hang around with folks who's practicing living their life like that. Because God has said he got the power to make us holy and godly. And once we allow him to do that, then we can go back to those folks in these last days and tell them what the Lord can do for them. That you'll no longer be boastful and proud. You no longer be having idols as your God. You can know the true and living God. So all right, so much for what we see. Because none of us are blind and none of us are naive because we see all this stuff all the time. But who are we? Let me tell you what Paul says to the church now. He was talking to Timothy, instructing and encouraging and exhorting him what to be aware of. But let's go. I'm a popcorn through about 8 quick verses in Ephesians because we need to know who we are. See, it's been times in my life I didn't know who I was. Oh, yeah, Kermit, Reginald Perry, that's me. Social Security name, rank and serial number, that's me. Mama, Helen, Daddy, Kermit, yep. I knew that much. But I didn't know me. God knew me. He knew the real me. He not the drunk me, not the loaded me, not the angry me, but God knew me and he knew what he wanted to do in me. Mm. And the Bible says, if any man boasts, let him boast in the Lord. There is nothing in me, that is in my flesh, dwell no good thing. But now Christ have taken up abode in my life, and I'm so grateful today. He's still saving in the last days. Okay, look, what Paul says to the church now. Whew, Jesus said in Revelation, in chapter 2 and chapter 3, after every one of those letters to the churches of Asia Minor, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I hope everybody got their ears on today. If you're in the overflow, turn your ears on today. In the sanctuary, turn up your ears. Let's hear what God is saying about who we are. And when you know who you are, you can give God praise. Whew. Ephesians 1 and 3 says all praise. Is it up on the screen? All right, if not, we're going to do it together. In Ephesians, 1 and 1, let's go there. This letter is from Paul. That's what was up there. Thank you, brother. Thank God for the front row. Ephesians 1 and 1. This letter is from Paul. Can y'all see that? Can we read it together? Okay, on three. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people. He's writing to God's holy people. Yes. Okay, go ahead without me. I'm talking about who we are. You talking about faithful followers of Jesus Christ? That's who we are. Any faithful folks in here today? Can I just see your hand for a minute? You sold out, going to hold out for Jesus. Oh, God. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 3. Oh, is it up there? It's up there. Come on, y'all, help me out. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because we are united. That's who we are, Sister Patricia. We are united with Christ. Did we come to a place one time in our life where we say, Jesus, I'm tired. Jesus, I don't know what to do. Jesus, I'm dressed up on the outside. But Jesus, I'm toe up on the inside. God, I've tried everything. And I don't know what to do. And Jesus said, I got you. He's saying, I got you. Thank you, God. Ephesians 1 and 8. I'm talking about who we are, saints. Come on, let's preach. He has showered us with kindness on us. His shower, woo, and along with all wisdom and understanding. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Anybody got a sound mind today? Do anybody think like you used to think 20 years ago? Ooh, somebody may say 10 days ago, but if you change, you've been changed. Mm. He has showered us. He has showered his kindness on us. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, listen. Let's not miss that. He didn't shower his wrath upon us. He didn't shower his justice upon us, which we deserved, but he showered his kindness on us. That's who we are. Amen. Y'all, let's look, keep on preaching to one. Let's keep preaching. Ephesians 1 and 11. Furthermore, oh, man, that's talking about all these things that has gone ahead of that. Furthermore, come on, y'all, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. Chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. That's who we are. Don't give up. Help is on the way. God has a plan for you, and if he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. Thank you, Lord. That's who we are. That's who we are. United with Christ. And we have an inheritance. You know, you let folks die today and let watch family members go crazy. Wanting their inheritance. I've been waiting on him, her to die for years. And look at that house. Look at that car. Do anybody know what insurance policy is? But we have an inheritance. We're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance in heaven. That's who we are. Amen. Verse 14. All right, come on, church, let's preach. The Spirit of God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Let's praise the Lord in this house today. That's who we are. We are praisers. We are worshipers. We are preachers. Amen. We are teachers. We are saints of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know. Oh, I know what I see. See, there's no denying what I see, but I know who I am. Thank you, Lord. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I'm the head and not the tail. Thank you, God. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Mm. Let's preach a little bit more. Let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ooh, I wish I could preach this whole chapter 2, but we'll just do two verses. Maybe five verses. I wish we all had a mirror with us right now. But play like you do. It says, once, come on, y'all, help me. Once you, now I know we don't change the word, right? Take the you out and put I. Real quick, let's do that. Okay. Once I was dead because of my disobedience and my many sins. Well, y'all preaching now. This is getting good to me because he's telling me who I am. I was in sin. I was born in sin. Sin, you were born in sin. Shaven in iniquity. Thank you, God. Somebody say, I was lost in sin. Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, singing to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now saved, safe, delivered, set free am I. All right, we'll read it without y'all saying all right, let's do it. Once you were dead, come on, y'all, because once you were dead, because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin. Used to, yes. Woo. Obeying the devil, the command of the powers in the unseen world, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God, those who Paul warned Timothy about. That's who we were. Please don't come up in here talking about I've been saved all my life. No. And I used to hear testimony, been saved all day, no evil have I done. I told this powerhouse evangelist one time, you can't sing that every day. And I was a young minister. She looked like, I will choke you, you know. Because some days I may not even feel saved. Huh? Some days I might not even act saved. But the Holy Spirit, the power of the living God will convict me and say, sir, you are wrong. And he won't release it until I give it up to him. He said, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once you were dead, I'll just read it. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. Some of us know that's true today. The commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. And he goes on down the list, but it jumps down to verse 4. He said, but God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But God, I could have been dead when I flipped that 73 Chevelle over 3 times off the San Bernardino freeway, but I'm still standing. Didn't know Jesus, but Jesus knew me. But you, who were dead in trespass and sin, he said, but God is so rich in mercy. Oh, some people say, well, they talk about he's rich in money, and he got the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he's a provider, which is all true, but God, who is rich in mercy. Have anybody in here ever been in need of mercy? Have anybody been extended grace and mercy by the living God whom you have given your life to? We need to know who we are. When the weight gets heavy, the load gets heavy, when things seem to be going the wrong way, think about who you are. Think about God who is rich in mercy. Yeah, God. Saved us out of a world of sin and shame. He said, but God, did y'all stop preaching? I probably told you to. Let's preach this last one here. Come on 3. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Woo, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. That's who we are today. Saved and sanctified. Hey, somebody said, filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God. Loving Jesus with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's who we are. So, saints, regardless of what you see today, irrespective of sickness, pain, death, persecution, trials, loneliness, brokenness, uncertainty. Hey, know who you are. Know who your God is. And know that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he is Lord. We know who he is. Hallelujah. He revealed to us who he is. Hallelujah. I didn't know who I was until he showed me who he was. And when he showed me who he was, I saw who I was. And I said, God, thank you. When I got to a point in my life, I couldn't even look in the mirror. I didn't like what I saw. All right. I was broken. All right. And the Holy Spirit in hindsight said, look in that mirror. And it was hard. It was hard. But that was the beginning of my deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We see so much. We experience so much. We feel so much, God. But we know who we are in you. We are delivered. We are blessed. We are saved. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. If there's anybody still worth your words, if you're still in that thing of what we see today, if the day is your day to turn it around, and you can know who you are in Jesus. You can know who you are in Jesus. Is there anybody in the house? Is there anybody online that you're ready for a change? You may have found yourself in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but God wants to show you who you can be in Ephesians chapter 1. If you want to renounce sin, if you want to renounce your ways of the past, if you want to dedicate your life to Jesus today, see, we're headed for the prison on tomorrow. We're headed to the shelter today where families and babies are homeless. And sometime we have homes and cars and clothing and food and have no Jesus. We're hearing noises from all over the place. We have peer pressure from young and old. God is saying today is the day of salvation. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. It was hard on me last Thursday going to a funeral and get a text that someone just died. And the same trip, got a call from Ontario Mortuary saying, can you do a eulogy for a family? What? It's not about being old, and it's not about being too young. But if you're at a place in your life today where you want to see a change and you really want to know who you are, today is your day. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Repeat this prayer after me, and then we're going to have communion. Father, in the name of Jesus,
I've heard your word.
I trust your word.
People have told me about your word.
Folks have prayed for me.
And Father God, today,
I want the realization to come alive to me.
I want to receive you for myself.
I want you to take over my life.
I want you to forgive me of my sins.
I believe that your son Jesus died for me
and rose again
with all power in his hand,
power to save,
power to deliver,
power to set free.
God, I surrender my life to you today.
In Jesus' name,
amen. If you prayed that prayer today, just give the Lord a hand praise. Find a church to go to. Find a Bible study group to get with. Find yourself in the house of the Lord. Find yourself running from the things that's trying to tear you down and running to the things that'll build you up. Amen. Amen. Well, it's communion time. Praise the Lord. Let's